We've been studying the last several weeks about seven wonders of Jesus Christ. The wonder of His birth, the wonder of His life, His teachings, His death, His resurrection, His ongoing work of intercession. And I want to conclude this series this morning on the wonder of His second coming. The wonder of His second coming. Godet has written, "The history of the world in its essential character is summed up in three sayings. He is coming, He has come, and He is coming again." And there you find really a summary of the Word of God. In the Old Testament, He is coming. The Gospel accounts, He has come. And from Acts through the book of Revelation, He is coming again. All of life revolves around those three statements. But consider this morning the wonder of His second coming. I want to share with you a summary of what the Bible teaches about the second coming, and that's difficult to do. I'm going to be presenting a lot of scriptures to you, so at least that much will be right. So hang on, but notice with me the wonder of Jesus' second coming. And where we'll end is what it means to you and to me today. And I want you to know it's thrilling news, folks, that Jesus is coming again. Number one, notice the certainty of His coming. Jesus promised that He would come again. After He had told His disciples that He was about to depart, He was about to die, they were very troubled. They were lost, not knowing what they were going to do. But Jesus gave them those comforting words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I'm sure they didn't fully comprehend what these words meant. But they and we will know just how blessed a promise that is when Jesus comes again. The angels declared Jesus will come again. Jesus had spoken some things to the apostles, Acts 1 verse 9. "And while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, two men stood by them in white apparel." And notice what they said. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." The angels declared He is coming again. The apostles echoed throughout the New Testament, "Jesus is coming again." Listen to Paul. "Our citizenship is in heaven," Philippians 3. "And we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Paul says we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is coming again. Peter said, "Gird up the loins of your mind," or "prepare your minds for action. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The apostles declared He is coming. Notice the manner of His coming. Number one, it'll be personal. It'll be personal. It'll be Jesus Himself. Just as the angels told the apostles, "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go." "I will come again," Jesus said to His apostles. It'll be personal. It will be Jesus. Number two, it'll be audible. It'll be audible. "The Lord Himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Make no mistake, it'll be audible so that all may hear. It'll also be visible. Revelation 1 and verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. You see, there's nothing secretive about the second coming of Christ. It'll be audible. All will hear. All will see. Every eye will see. Jesus is coming again. He will come with great power and glory. Mark 13:26. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and great power and glory. He'll come with the angels. All the holy angels, he said, will be with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. That's the manner of his coming. It'll be personal. It'll be Jesus. It'll be audible. You'll hear the sound. You'll see with your eyes Jesus coming with great power and glory and with the angelic host. What about the time of his coming? And there's been a lot debated through the years about when Jesus is going to come. And prediction after prediction has been made as to the exact time when he's coming. Some have even predicted that he's going to come this year, 2012. Will he? He may. But it won't be because of those predictions, I promise you. What is the time of his coming? What does the scripture say? Number one, it'll be during a period of time when people are focusing on this world. Notice what Jesus says, Luke 17. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Just like in the days of Noah, they carried on. They ate, they drank, they got married until suddenly the rains began to fall. Likewise, as it was told also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What's the message? When is Jesus going to come again? It's when people are going about their business. It's when people are going to continue to do what they normally do day in and day out. It'll be sudden. He's going to come when we, or far too many, are not even looking for him. We'll be going about our daily business, thinking about our daily activities. Jesus will come while mockers are mocking. 2 Peter 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Here are scoffers scoffing at this idea that Jesus is coming again. And Peter says, that's when he's going to come. When scoffers are scoffing and they're saying, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed since the beginning of creation. Many would say the same today. The sun still rises and sets. Nothing's changed. Where is he? Jesus will come when many will be scoffing that he will not. Jesus will come at a time unknown to us. Of that day and hour, no one knows, Jesus said. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He would say in Matthew 25 as well, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The Apostle Paul gives us an idea of the time of his coming. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. A thief doesn't notify a home just precisely when to expect him. Rather, his coming is at a time when he's totally unexpected. Even so, the coming of Christ. It'll be sudden and unexpected, and we don't know exactly when that's going to be. Jesus said, Watch therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. It is a certainty Jesus is coming again. It is uncertain when. Therefore we must always be ready. Someone asked, why didn't God tell us? Why didn't God tell us exactly when Jesus is going to come? I like this person's answer. He said, I believe that one of the main reasons God didn't tell us is because a lot of people would live their lives like they wanted to right up to that moment. And then they would try to get right. God wants us to live faithfully before Him all the time and to always be ready for Christ's return. We don't know when it's going to be. Therefore, we always need to be ready. Notice the purpose of His coming. And here are five things associated with the second coming of Christ. When He comes, the dead will be raised. The dead will be raised. Jesus says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The dead will be raised. Secondly, He'll come to judge the world. He will judge everyone. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. When He comes, it will be to judge the world. It will be to punish the wicked. 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you, he wrote to these suffering Christians, and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. When Jesus comes, it'll be to punish those who have rejected His offer of grace through Jesus Christ, who have said no to Him. But it will also be to reward the righteous. Paul said, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing. That crown of righteousness will be given to all those who have loved His appearing. To all those who have obeyed the gospel, have committed their lives to serving Jesus. The righteous will be rewarded when Jesus comes. The Hebrew writer speaks about the first time Jesus came and when He's coming again. Notice what he says. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, referring to His crucifixion. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Another thing associated with the second coming of Jesus is that He will come, when He comes, He will deliver the kingdom to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, then the end will come when He hands over the kingdom to God the Father after He has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Notice that He's not coming to set up a kingdom. He's coming to deliver the kingdom to the Father. Because the kingdom exists now. If you're a subject of the king, you're in His kingdom. If you're a member of the church, you're a member of the kingdom of Christ. And when He comes again, He's going to deliver that kingdom to the Father. It's a marvelous thing to consider that Jesus is coming again. What does that mean to you and to me? How do we prepare for His second coming? Number one, we need to wait patiently for His return. As Paul said in Philippians 3:20, we read earlier, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an active waiting. It's an enduring type of waiting. James 5 verse 7 speaks of this. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. So he gives the illustration of a farmer waiting for rain. And I've told you before, I used to work out in West Texas on dry land cotton farms. And I know what it means for farmers having to wait for rain, especially when it doesn't come very often. But they have to wait for it. They wait patiently. They're active in their waiting. So should we as we wait for the second coming of Jesus. Not only wait, but we must watch for His return. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And the idea of watch there is an active watching. It means determined wakefulness. It's the idea of staying awake in order to watch. Eager anticipation. Watch for His return. Live in view of His return every day. Listen to Titus chapter 2. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. While we're looking and waiting and anticipating His second coming, we're to continue to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And we're to continue to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. I love the story that I read about a gardener for a large estate in northern Italy. He was conducting a visitor through the castle and the beautiful, well-groomed grounds. And as the visitor had lunch with the gardener and his wife, he commended them for the beautiful way that they kept this garden. He asked, by the way, when was the last time the owner was here? Oh, it was about 10 years ago. Well, the visitor asked them, why do you keep the gardens in such immaculate, lovely manner? His answer, because I'm expecting him to return. When? Is he coming next week? I don't know when he's coming, replied the gardener, but I'm expecting him today. That's the way we need to live. I don't know when he's coming back, but I'm expecting him today. And therefore, I'm going to continue to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. I'm going to continue to say no to sin and look for Jesus to come. We need to be ready. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You Auburn fans, do you recognize the name Otis Mounds? Otis Mounds. I read about Otis Mounds. He was a redshirt freshman on the Auburn football team in 1990. And as a redshirt freshman, you know he wasn't out on the field. In fact, he was in the stands when Auburn was playing Cal State Fullerton. He was eating popcorn and drinking a Coke. And he heard the announcer say, "Will Otis Mounds please report to the Auburn locker room?" And when he reported, he was told that Pat Dye wanted him to suit up and go into the game. They had begun the game with three tailbacks. One was injured, and when only one of the others was able to finish the half, that's when they decided, we've got to take that red shirt off of Otis Mounds and bring him in the game. He spent part of the third quarter suiting up and stretching. He entered the game halfway through the third. Auburn beat Fullerton on that occasion, 38-17. Mounds rushed five times for 33 yards. I believe he went on to become a safety instead of a running back. But here's the point. Can you imagine in the stands? Will Otis Mounds go to the locker room? It's time for you to perform. He had to be ready, didn't he? We have to be ready when Jesus comes again. And finally, in preparation for his coming, his second coming, we need to realize the importance of now. The importance of now. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1 says, "We then as workers together with him plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." How important is now? It's this important. Now is when we prepare. We don't know when he's going to return. But now we have the chance, the opportunity to obey God. Now we have the opportunity to put the Lord on in baptism, to be clothed with Christ so that our sins can be washed away as a penitent believer. Now we have the opportunity, if we haven't been living as a child of God should, if we've been following other gods and need to come back, we have that opportunity right now. And we may not have another. To prepare for Jesus' second coming, we need to be ready now. As I conclude, what does it mean? What does it mean to you and to me? What does it mean to Christians that Jesus is coming again? Because he is coming, there's going to be a great reunion one day. There's going to be a great reunion with all those who have gone on before in Christ. And I know many of you are looking forward to that reunion. It'll be a reunion where, whereas we've had to say goodbye, our goodbyes will turn to hellos. Because he's coming again, any difficulty that we are experiencing now is temporary. Because he is coming again, our health problems will be no more. We'll be given a new body that won't be subject to decay and disease. It'll be an immortal body. And we'll experience pain no more. Because he's coming again, it means we're going home. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Folks, it's the greatest news ever. He's coming again. Are you prepared? If you need to make preparation this morning, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.